ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In startups, we always say it's going to work because it's inevitable, but most of the time, there are companies that work because they make it work. And they make it work because they say, what are the conditions that are necessary for this company to grow at an incredible clip and save the world? And then they work backwards and actually make those conditions come true.
Do you feel like things like technology at work are changing so fast? You just learn one tool and then you're told you're moving on to another? Hello, I'm Lisa Leong, and for this working life, I've something for you to try. Entrepreneur's mindset, anyone? It's not just for the startup world. It's a muscle that you can develop and flex wherever you work. So, what is an entrepreneur's mindset?
You've just got to keep going. You've got to keep persevering through the economic highs and lows. You've got to love what you're doing and never give up.
We've gathered a psychologist, a professor, and an entrepreneur to huddle with you to develop your entrepreneurial mindset.
I'm Rachel Newman. I am one of the co-founders of Flying Fox Ventures, which is an early stage venture fund that backs incredible entrepreneurs here in Australia and New Zealand to do what they do all over the world.
What made you want to work with entrepreneurs?
Listen, there's no better privilege in life than to get to work with folks who are doing their life's work. And I think it's a combination of, you know, the passion and the vision that they have. They see a problem and they are not okay with how it is either not being solved or being solved currently. And they have this relentless pursuit to make it better. And that kind of passion sometimes makes them very difficult to work with. But it is so inspiring, and I mean, it is literally what is and what will continue to change the world. So, you know, we always joke that an entrepreneur is someone who works 100 hours because they're unwilling to work 40. Same, a VC is someone who wants to work 100 hours because we're unwilling to, you know, work in a bank.
A strong work ethic is part of the entrepreneurial culture, that's for sure. But what's going on in their minds?
I think that it really comes down to mindset, because I know there are lots of folks that are trying to figure out what are the tools or the skills, but really I think it's all about attitudinal attributes. And so if I think about looking across my portfolio of founders and hundreds of founders I've worked with, it boils down to, I think, three big characteristics. The first one is an ability to deeply identify and empathize with a customer problem. The second is this relentless pursuit to solve it. And we say sometimes that means that they run through walls, sometimes they jump over hurdles, but they don't let no stand in the way. And because if something is really hard and worth solving, either people will have tried before and failed, or people will say it can't be done. But if they wake up every day saying it must be done, and I'm going to figure it out, that's a pretty crazy mix. And then that third thing is this high velocity learning loop. And that's because they don't come with solutions. They come with an identification of the problem. They try a bunch of things and often trip and fall and stumble. And so the speed at which they can learn, adjust, and try again, for me, that is the highest predictor of success of an entrepreneur.
Is an entrepreneur born or is it developed? Could I be a person who's just waiting for that problem to appear before me and then I become an entrepreneur?
You stole my question. I ask folks this question whenever I meet with other investors. I always ask them, are these traits innate or can they be developed? Listen, I think the answer is both. So I think that everyone can start to adopt aspects of an entrepreneurial mindset, but the ones that like really blow up the world, there is something that is innate in them. And then they layer on top of that the skills and the experience that hone those innate attributes. Being, you know, out of the womb with a natural gift doesn't get you anywhere if you don't practice, you know, those 10,000 hours. And so then likewise, if you don't naturally have this orientation, you can start to learn that. You know, Carol Dweck talks about growth mindset. We know that we have the neuroplasticity to try things new ways. And so the more we think about what makes up this mindset, we can actually exercise that. I think one of the problems is that in society, we don't have enough gyms to exercise those muscles. So not all roles or companies embrace the entrepreneurial mindset. Not everyone is kind of given the green light or has the confidence to exercise those muscles. But the more we give people gyms to work out, I think the more we will be able to develop those entrepreneurial spirits.
Okay, Rachel, why should we bother?
Oh, May, because, you know, what got us here isn't going to get us there. And I think we just know that the world is changing at a pace that has never been seen before. Technology is advancing at a clip that we are failing to keep up with. Certainly our policy can't keep up with it. Our education system can't keep up with it. And so the only thing that can keep up is us, the humans. And we can only do that if we, I mean, quite frankly, evolve as fast as our tools are evolving. And so, one, we're sitting in a bunch of man-made problems in our environment, in our health system, our education system, and traditional approaches is not going to fix it because it's the traditional approaches that, quite frankly, got us into some of these jams. And so we need to think differently, and we need to jump at these mammoth-sized problems with this mindset that thinks really big, thinks really differently, and has a higher tolerance for risk.
So the entrepreneurial mindset could be important for the bigger picture as well. Pretty inspiring, right?
Hi there, I'm Alex Newman. I'm a professor of management at Melbourne Business School, University of Melbourne.
Alex says entrepreneurship is growing in popularity.
I think people see the economy as it is and see entrepreneurship as a sort of a valid career path these days. So they see a lot, especially on social media. You see a lot of young people making money. And I guess that's why a lot of young people see it as an attractive career path. They hear stories from their parents about traditional careers and they're not as excited in those careers. So I think there's a mindset amongst young people about career change and developing one's skills. And entrepreneurship is a skill that you can also take into the corporate world. So I think there's a lot of interest, especially in schools, about entrepreneurship, and they're increasingly teaching those as part of the curriculum.
Yeah, you can learn at university. In fact, there's Master of Entrepreneurship, and then you can learn at schools as well. So what is the essence of entrepreneurship that's so highly valued then, Alex?
I think it's the sort of willingness to sort of move through failure and sort of overcome challenges and obstacles. So it's about developing those skills that will set you in good stead for whatever kind of career that you want to pursue in the future.
What other aspects of a person's psychology might affect the levels of entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I think obviously I teach leadership at Melbourne Business School, and we talk a lot about the big five personality traits. So I think, hiring people that are naturally skewed towards being entrepreneurial, and there's been a bit of research looking at some of the traits and entrepreneurship.
Oh, tell us about the big five and those traits.
Neuroticism, more neurotic people, so I'm not going to go into neuroticism too much, but more neurotic people are less inclined towards entrepreneurship, and people who are more open to experience are more inclined towards entrepreneurship. So there's quite a bit of research linking one's personality to entrepreneurship. And again, personality is something that tends to be more stable as we grow up, but it is developable during one's younger years. So I think that's why we see a lot of schools teaching these entrepreneurial skills. I think half your personality is developable, half you're born with, so the latest research suggests. So can we shape people to be more entrepreneurial? I see America is a very entrepreneurial society, and I remember my colleague used to send their child to the Harvard Business School kindergarten, and they were made to do business presentations from the age of four. So I think there are certain cultures where entrepreneurship is, encouraged, and it's risk is encouraged. So we see America being very successful at that. I see India now. We do see certain cultures that are thriving, and obviously that's to do with the educational system and how they encourage entrepreneurship.
Can it be developed, or is it a psychological trait and it's like a hardwired into us?
Yeah, I think so. Some of the research that we've done on resilience, we find that entrepreneurs are typically more resilient than non-entrepreneurs. So there is that trait-based understanding. But I do think, entrepreneurial skills and that entrepreneurial resilience can be developed through training, education, through mentorship. So we see a lot of these incubator programs. I know Launch Victoria's done a lot of work, and there's increasingly a large number of incubators in Australia that really support entrepreneurs to be creative. So I think it's a bit of nature and a bit of nurture. So I think you obviously got to look at the person and the context. So I'd say it's a bit of both, but there are people that are naturally more entrepreneurial. You see these serial entrepreneurs who fail in one business, the next day they're opening their new business, they've liquidated or they've gone bankrupt, and then they're on their new business the week after. So these people just amaze me. It's
What is that bounce back? Is that optimism or something else?
I'm not sure. I just think these people are often in entrepreneurial families where they see their role models in their parents and sort of the networks around their parents. So I think it's kind of natural for them. So I think the focus of, you know, government policy should be around supporting people who haven't seen that and supporting them to sort of develop ideas through maybe mentorship or, you know, the incubator and angel investing is all designed to support those kinds of entrepreneurs. Yeah.
Having a mentor is really important, especially when you're starting out. More on that later. Let's get a perspective on entrepreneurship from a psychologist now.
My name is Eleni Drakakis and I'm a business psychologist. An entrepreneur mindset is a promotion-focused or achievement-focused individual who is immensely driven and passionate. They tend to be really good at recognizing opportunities and taking action-orientated thinking. So not only being able to come up with good ideas, but knowing how to drive those ideas through to a solution or a product. Being really great networkers, so they know who to pull in. They're real risk takers, adaptable, innovative, and very, very resilient too.
There's that R word again. So how does that play out for entrepreneurs?
We all have natural set points of resilience, but there's certainly things that we can do to strengthen that even more. So that is a huge focus area when you're working with entrepreneurs and high achievers, constantly monitoring kind of where are your resilience reserves at and what can we do to push it up and maximize that for you. So you can stay, you know, at full throttle, you know, when you need to and for as long as possible.
Have you got any tips for exercising the resilience muscle?
Yes, definitely. So I think you have to find something that you really enjoy and it's not a one-size-fits-all. So with some high performers, you tell them to meditate and do yoga and it's the worst thing that they could possibly ever think about. Mm. Some people really love, you know, that high intensity exercise and just that release of running and, you know, other CrossFit and other really high impact activities. And other people really find that they need to really calm that vestibular system with things like Pilates, yoga, meditation, more calming style of activities. So I always recommend that it's good to have a different range of activities in your toolbox. Some of them social, some of them activities that you can do alone, and just pick and choose from those depending on what you feel like you need in the moment.
There is a shadow side to the entrepreneur mindset though.
So having so much passion and so much drive, you just don't know when to stop. You don't know when to take breaks. You don't know when you're getting too obsessive. You need to have that work-life balance. You need to have good support people and networks around you. You need to have those trusted advisors. You need to listen to those people around you and kind of, you know to look out for the signs in yourself of burnout and before you reach that point. Because the sad thing is once you hit that point of burnout, it can be really hard to come back from that. Sometimes if people let these things go for too long, it just gets to the point where they throw their hands up in the air and they're like, I've had it. It's too hard. It's too much. I'm not doing it anymore. And they kind of leave the entrepreneurial life behind and you know, go back to something else. So that is a real shame to let yourself get to that point and that level. So it's all about having good self-awareness and knowing where your optimal point is between kind of effort and performance and stress. So there's good stress, but then if you push it too hard, then there's bad stress. And that's when you can, you know, slide into the anxiety, the stress and the burnout mode.
Do you think that being naturally optimistic is a prerequisite then for an entrepreneurial mindset?
Definitely. You know, positivity and optimism is linked to a whole range of entrepreneurial traits, such as risk-taking and innovative and creative thinking, and, you know, definitely that perseverance trait.
And could that have a dark side as well?
Yeah, of course. Sometimes if you're too optimistic, you can be too much of a risk taker and just push things too hard and too much to the limit, right? So, you know, you've got to always be able to catch yourself, use data, use decision-making matrices, and there's a whole range of tools that you can use to just check your optimism. But I think definitely for an achievement-driven entrepreneur, having that glass half-full personality is really useful. So, yeah, really important to be positive and optimistic. But of course, temper that with a bit of realism, and getting some feedback from your customers is always a great way to keep it real.
Good advice from business psychologist Eleni Drakakis. Rachel Newman is a mentor to entrepreneurs. Sometimes that means stepping in when they've gone too far.
Yeah, I think part of our jobs as advisors and investors is to sometimes help founders find that line. And sometimes those are difficult conversations to say, hey, you know, that fourth wall you've just pushed up against, like, your customers aren't begging for you. So we help them to sometimes go around that wall to find what is the real thing that they're solving. But other times when we're hearing the whispers and they're just tired, it's our job to, you know, pump them up, let them know that we have their back, give them more fuel in the form of capital if they need that, but let them know that, you know, the race is still on.
If I'm an individual in a large organization, should I be developing an entrepreneurial mindset? Shouldn't I just be executing what I've been told to do?
Oh, that's you. Well, you said my favorite word, which is execution, because, you know, strategy and mindset is nothing if you're not executing. But executing is not just following a straight line. Right? That's trying a bunch of different things, figuring out what lands, and then double downing on that. In entrepreneurial discussions, we often talk about failure. I think the F word is somewhat, there's a lot of F porn. There's a lot of failure porn that's come out where they're saying embrace failure, celebrate failure. And
fail fast.
Yeah, well, I love fail fast, and I'll talk about why, but I think that we've kind of swung the pendulum so far that we're like, we're going to celebrate failure all the time, which is a good compensation for where we were, which is a zero risk tolerance. And so if we have to celebrate it for a while to normalize it, fine. But I don't think about failure as being something we celebrate, because no one wants to fail. But managing risk is something that we should celebrate. And managing risk means taking lots of small bets, breaking things down into the smallest unit of what can I do to learn something? And when I learn that, how can I make a decision and change something? And so I think that anyone in any job has an opportunity to approach her or his work in this way, which is rather than put all of my eggs in one basket, what are the three hypotheses that I have? And what are the three experiments I can run that are really short, quick, and cheap? And then when I learn that, that will show me that I'm on the right path. And so it's really just this experimentation. And so if you have three experiments and two don't work, that's not a failure. You've managed your risk. You've spread your energy out over three. And now you know I'm going to go hard on one. And so I like when we have a high risk tolerance. And that is because we have managed risk by using the appropriate amount of resources across the appropriate number of experiments for the appropriate place that we are in the project or the decision-making process.
I think that point that Rachel made about taking small bets and managing risk is gold. You don't need to spend your time writing a long, arduous business case for a huge investment, which will just get rejected. Maybe just try and do something under the radar to prove your case first. And of course, you don't have to actually start your own business to be an entrepreneur.
Increasingly, organizations are looking for people with that entrepreneurial and creative spirit to actually change things within the organization. So we're always looking sort of to get ahead of our competition and looking for new innovative ways of doing business. So increasingly a lot of firms are focusing on that kind of entrepreneurial ideas and entrepreneurial training within the organization and encouraging, for example, as part of their sort of day job, encouraging people to take on entrepreneurial projects within organization.
So how can you embrace being an intrapreneur? Eleni has some ideas.
Yeah, I really love that term because I think it's, you know, not limiting. It's very kind of motivating and empowering to people who are employees within an organization. So you can absolutely adopt an entrepreneurial mindset. And this is something that actually leaders spend a lot of time trying to drive and engage in their teams. So, you know, people who can be self-motivated and kind of see what the next step is, take that initiative, try to think up different and new ways of doing things in terms of that innovative thinking. I think having that business acumen as well and being able to link your activities back to what the overall purpose is of your business unit, your team, or the industry that you're working in, and really building up a strong network for yourself. So that might look like, you know, raising your hand to do special projects or being in the social club, whatever it is. You know, job crafting is what it's actually called. You have your day-to-day role and requirements, but there's nothing to say that you can't look for opportunities outside of that that are really nicely aligned to your strengths and your passion areas.
And for people listening who want to start developing an entrepreneurial mindset, is it possible to learn it even if it doesn't come naturally?
100% it is. I think a really good place to start, though, is getting your hands on some kind of personality tool. There's a lot of self-assessments that you can do even online just to understand where your set point is on some of these traditionally entrepreneurial traits. So you might find that you have certain strengths or inclinations already in your natural profile, and you might find other areas. So for example, if you've been operating in an organization that's got a lot of rules or there's a lot of kind of safety component, you might find that you're really risk averse because of that. The data is really good knowledge. So you can see, I'm someone that doesn't really try new things, or I hold back a little bit. All right, well, if I want to try to, you know, build that entrepreneurial mindset or operate as more of an entrepreneur, I think I might have to push myself out of my comfort zone a little bit. Let me do a little bit of research. Let me try to identify someone I know in my network who I think is really good at pushing themselves out of their limits. Are there any kind of opportunities for me to put my hand up and really stretch myself?
Inspiration for the entrepreneurial mindset can come from role models too. Here's Rachel.
So look for stories of amazing entrepreneurs who are building great companies and understand like, oh, how is she thinking about that differently? Or that was such a cool approach that she took because she really understood the customer problem in a different way. You know, who are these heroes who are building great companies? And celebrate in their success, identify how much pain and grunt and gruel they've went through to get it. And the more we can continue to kind of tell these success stories and see that these are both pathways that we can take, either in big ways or in our own worlds in small ways, I think the more inspiring it will be.
Any final advice for us on developing this entrepreneur's mindset?
I mean, the thing that I just tell everyone is that entrepreneurship is for everyone. In some way, shape, or form, we can all be entrepreneurial in how we approach our day, how we approach our family life, how we approach our careers. And so, you know, I always just say, like, say yes. We are naturally oriented towards identifying what could go wrong. We forget to ask ourselves, what would happen if this actually went right? And I think also sometimes, and I see this maybe even in Australia more so than in the United States, where I spent most of my young adult life, is that when we think about could it go right, we should ask ourselves, and what if it went right and was even 10 times bigger than that? And so I just encourage everyone to kind of come in with a growth mindset to say, okay, how can I develop these skills? Then an optimism to say, let's not talk about why this would go wrong. Let's actually experiment, but go in thinking what would happen if it went right. And the third is just think 10 times bigger than you ever would before.
10 times bigger. Love that. Thanks to Rachel Newman, founder at Flying Fox VC, business psychologist Eleni Drakakis, and Professor Alex Newman from Melbourne Business School. How have you adopted an entrepreneur mindset in your career? Tell us about it by emailing thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. Thanks for listening to This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong. It was produced by Michelle Weeks on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. Until next time, work it like an entrepreneur.